Hey guys, welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. It's Emmett Sherlock and our other host, Will. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing good. How are you, Emmett?
I'm doing awesome. And today we're interviewing the number one 126 pounder in the country, Dean Peterson. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm feeling great. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good myself, especially now that I'm interviewing the number one 126 pounder. Will, you want to get us started?
Yeah, let's do this. So let's start off with your most recent match. Who's number one? When did you get an email or call saying you're invited to Who's Number One? And what was your reaction going like, oh, yeah, I'm wrestling Titus. I can get some revenge.
So originally I got a text and a text from Mike Mao, and he was telling me you're in consideration for the tournament. And I was like super excited. That had to be that back in like May. So I was super excited, and my like parents and all my coaches were like, you don't know it's in consideration. So you don't know if you're going to be at it. So don't get too excited and then let your hopes get let down or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then maybe about a month later, they hit me up and said, you got the match at 126. Even though originally I put down 120, they bumped me up to 26. They're like, you have a chance for a revenge match at Titus. And as soon as I heard it was Titus, I got excited because I knew when I lost to him at Super 32, I knew that really wasn't me. That wasn't a good representation of how I wrestle or my style whatsoever. I lost to him 10-4, and I just knew that I could change the score of that match. And obviously, that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, definitely. So,
yeah, you just said it. You lost to him at Super 32 10-4. So since you already got to wrestle him, did you have a game plan going into this match? And was there anything you were looking to do different to get your hand raised?
I knew he was going to go for that Falcon hard, and I knew his scrambling ability was pretty good. But I was never going to go off of my offense or go away from what works for me. A couple coaches were telling me, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I was like, I'm gonna keep going at him because I know I can gas him out and I can keep up the pace the entire match. And that was obvious because I scored a takedown in every period, even with him scrambling all over the place and trying his Falcon. I probably worked for a good one or two weeks on like Falcon defense and being able to defend that, because that's what I got caught with in the other match. I got caught with it twice, and that's why he was able to win 10-4.
But yeah, he went for it again that third period, and then you capitalized, you know, let him get it. You call it the Falcon. Yeah. Most people call it the Jonesy.
Yeah. I don't even know who told me it was a Falcon, but I just feel like saying the Jonesy just doesn't sound right to me, so I just say Falcon. I don't even know where it came from.
Yeah. The Falcon, that's pretty cool.
Sounds cooler than the Jonesy, though.
I'm not calling – you changed me up now. I'm not calling the Jonesy anymore. It's the Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emmett's brother is a big Jonesy guy, so we'll call him the Falcon from now on.
that's pretty cool.
That's all my brother does.
Yeah. All right. So in your preparation, we know you get to wrestle with Sebastian Rivera a little. What is it like having him to prepare?
He helped me a lot, really with my like finishes and stuff, because at that college level, you can't sit on your finishes the way you do in high school. You can't be slow with it, because then kids are just going to capitalize. And if you're sitting in one position for too long, they're going to end up scoring. So you got to be efficient with your attacks. And he was helping me a lot on my single leg finishes. And that was prominent in that match with Titus. I was able to get to my singles and finish pretty efficiently the two times I got in. But it's great having someone like him in the room, because I can get my, you know, I can get my butt kicked a little bit, and he can, you know, humble me a little bit, even though like sometimes I'm like the, you know, one of the better kids in the room, but having someone that's better than you it's very good, and it helps you jump levels.
Yeah. Who were some of your coaches that helped you in your preparation?
I've got like three or four coaches that were helping me prepare. Obviously Steve Rivera, who is Sebastian's dad.
Yeah.
He owns Elite Wrestling. Vinny Delafave, who also at Elite Wrestling. Jay Nace, who is used to be a assistant coach at Ryder, but now he coaches at Howell High School. And another coach is Maddie Santoro, who I met at St. John Vianney and has probably been one of my best friends over like the last two or three years. He's really been a really key part of my success.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, no one on the Flow Crew predicted you to win who's number one, which I think is a little disrespectful. But did you happen to see that at all? And what were your reaction to that? And did it like motivate you at all?
I did. I saw it and I was like, wow. No one really thinks that I'm gonna come out and win this match. No one thought I would have the answer to the Falcon or whatever. No one thought I was gonna come out and be able to score the way I did. They didn't really think that I could make the adjustments from the last time I wrestled him, which it was like it was kind of weird to think that not even a single person, because like I didn't think I wrestled that terrible in that match, even though I got caught twice in a Falcon. I was like, that's a little bit disrespectful. And it did. It hyped me up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go out there and prove everyone wrong.
Besides, if the Falcon or Jonesy wasn't there, it would have been that would minus. What is that? Didn't he get back points on one of them?
He did. He got, I think he got a five count out. So it was like
And
he got
then,
five off one and then two off another. I think the rest were like escapes in the match, because I ended up
So
reversing
besides
or
the
whatever.
Jonesy, the match is very, very close.
Very
I don't know.
close.
They disrespected you.
They did, but
That's 3-4, or that's you have, yeah. That means he scored 3 points without the Jonesy, and then that'll put you on top.
So you got a couple of free stuff for who's number one. I saw like a wrestling bag, the two piece, obviously, and I think I heard from Chase you got a little bit more. I think maybe shoes, maybe if I'm
Yeah,
right.
we got shoes from Rudis. I didn't get to wear them because they are insane. They don't have very good grip once you first start using them.
Yeah, they
So
need time breaking.
I was trying to wrestle with them for like, because we got them about a week before the tournament. So I hop on the mats and I was slipping all over the place, and no one really knows, but like I've had a high ankle sprain for about like a month now, and I've keep re-injuring it. So like slipping all over the place really wasn't smart, especially going into the tournament. I had to kind of keep that under wraps and keep it taped up. But it's just like I don't really know what to do with the shoes now, because I still haven't worn them, and I don't know how to break them in to the point where I'm not slipping all over the place. So I think we're gonna try and like sand the bottoms or something so I can get some type of grip with them. But yeah, we got a bag and a two piece, and I really love the shorts. I think I'm gonna be wearing the shorts a lot.
So, other than getting the free stuff, what was the experience like there, like at the hotel, getting food, and what was just explain your experience there and what do you think of it?
It was pretty cool, especially like when we got to go to like Flow headquarters for weigh-ins. It was pretty cool. So like you hop on the scale, they like take a bunch of photos of you, you're like flexing, it's like all hyped up, and it's almost like paparazzi, and you're like, wow, this is like you're like starstruck and like, wow, this is pretty cool. And even they gave us food and everything, which is pretty cool. They allowed us to like pick out our walkout song, especially when we're going out to our mat or our match. It was
Wasn't
pretty
yours
cool
like
too.
who was Lil was a Lil Pump, right?
It was Lil Pump, Be Like Me, featuring Lil Wayne.
I thought I remember
Great
that.
song.
Great song. There was some different, definitely a lot of taste from you could see from different wrestlers. Cause I remember one of our friends, the heavyweight Chase. He's like a country kid. He came out with like the biggest country song. I guess it speaks to character, whatever you choose.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Now,
Well, I was gonna go with a song by Juice WRLD, and then I was like, I'm gonna go with Lil Pump.
okay, nice. Now, so the day before your match, your opponent, Jordan Titus, actually missed weight. So, what was your reaction to this? And was there ever a thought that you wouldn't wrestle or wouldn't wrestle him?
There was never a doubt that I was not. I never thought, oh, I'm not going to take the match because he missed weight. Because I was like, I had unfinished business. Like I lost to him, so I had something to prove by beating him. Even if he missed weight, I wasn't going to be like, oh, well, he missed weight, I'm not going to wrestle him. Because I thought it was, I thought missing weight, especially for one of the biggest matches of your life, was kind of disrespectful. Like you're going to have me come all the way out to Texas to give you, it's literally one match. You only got to weigh in one day. It's not like you have to hold the weight or anything. And then you miss weight by about a half a pound or a little bit over a half a pound. And that's like, when it comes to like weighing in, that's a little bit much, don't you think? And I was just, it was just, I thought it was disrespectful that him missing weight and everything, but there was never a doubt in my mind of taking the match.
And then I was like right before the match, they said that they gave him opportunity to try to make it again. And then he was like, "No, nah, I'm not." Like all he had to do was just hold his weight and he would lose the 0.5 pound every night. And he just said no.
He was like, "No, I'm not even gonna do it," because I don't think he wanted to be, because especially when like wrestlers are cutting weight, you weigh in the day of, you're gonna be a lot weaker if someone weighed in the day before. So he didn't want to be at a disadvantage. I mean, missing weight is still like, come on. That's the first thing you got to do. He lost to the scale and he lost to me. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's not a good look for him, I guess.
Especially going into college, it's not a good look whatsoever.
Yeah. What did you think of, like, the press conference going in the match where they had both of you guys in the booth or whatever, that I don't know, the setup or how they did it? What was that like?
It was pretty cool, but he had already missed weight at that point. So I, like, listening to him speak was kind of funny because I was like, none of what he's saying is true. It was just like, why are you saying these things if you know you just came off the scale and missed weight?
So it was like right after you weighed in, you went to the back and did it?
Yeah. Like he missed weight and probably like an hour and a half later, we did the interviews or whatever. So it was very odd because I was like, why is he talking like this? Like he's ready to wrestle. Like it's obviously not the case since he just missed weight.
Yeah. Was he giving any trash talk?
He actually did not say a single word to me, which is weird because the last two times that I wrestled him, he talked like smack while we were on the mat in the match. Both times. And I was like, wow. So he didn't say a single word to me at the weigh-ins, not during the press conference, and not during the match. Which was odd.
You think there's any bad blood there still?
I mean, I don't want to consider it bad blood because he's just a talker in general. He trash talks a lot. There's no bad blood, but like if you watched afterwards after the match, I went to shake their coach's hands, obviously. But what had ended up happening at weigh-ins is he was there with his dad, and I don't know why neither one of them came up to me and explained the situation, because I had to wait for a flow guy to tell me. And that's what I went up and said to him after the match. I was like, it's disrespectful that you didn't say anything to me. And he like acted like he didn't know what I was talking about and all this. So I was just like, whatever. It's not a big deal. I won the match. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You beat him even with Dexter, whatever weight he had.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's get into the match. 3 seconds in, you take a double leg and get into crazy scramble where both you guys are diving under, getting up, get your hips up. And it ends up with you getting a takedown and him getting a reversal right away. What goes in your mind in a scramble like that? And how do you keep working for that takedown?
I was just trying to put him in positions of danger, obviously. Once I was able to get my hips up and, like, set my position, I was putting my foot on the other side of his face to try and, like, get him on his back. I mean, in college, that's back points because you're putting him in a position of danger.
Yeah.
Obviously, in high school, it doesn't follow the same rules. But I knew if he was on his back for too long, he'd eventually kind of let go and let me score the 2 points. But like in a scramble like that, you just got to stay calm, keep your hips up. You can't really like rush into a position or rush one way or another. You got to kind of keep it calm and try and slow it down as much as you can. Cause someone like Titus, he's obviously got speed and he knows what he's doing in there. So you kind of got to slow it down as much as you can.
Yeah. Does your knees and ankles hurt sometimes when in them scrambles? Cause it looks like you got some weird positions.
Yeah, it was a little bit painful because obviously, like I said, I had a high ankle sprain. So, like, when he was grabbing my ankle, I was in pain. And I was just trying to, like, fight through it. And even like, I think I sprained one of my either my MCL or my ACL because we were just rolling around in there, like, knees and ankles flying everywhere. It was a little bit painful.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, speaking of ankles, it looked like you wore it or tweaked it, like, was 15 seconds left when you were – I think he had low. He was, like, low and you were trying to kick out. Yeah.
It was funny because it was
what happened there. Yeah.
So it was obviously the ankle that I'd already injured, but it's funny because the week prior I had like a warm-up tournament that I went into and the same thing happened. I was on bottom and I was kicking away from the person and they held onto my ankle and it like almost like popped out a little bit. And I was like, oh, this hurts. I just needed a little bit of time to like recover. It happened 2 weeks prior, which is it literally same thing happened twice. So,
yeah. Now, so you talked about getting hurt a little bit in your match. What were your thoughts about like a lot of people getting hurt in news number one?
Yeah. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. I think it's just that everyone's been dealing with COVID a little bit differently. Not everyone's in the best shape. I mean, I don't think my injury was a showing that I wasn't in shape. It's just, that happens sometimes. But a lot of these people weren't in shape. And like you could see a lot of the kids were getting gassed in like the first periods. Like even Titus was like tired by that third period. Like that Falcon that he hit in the third, like tried to hit in the third, was probably like a desperation attempt because like he could barely get back to the center of the mat when we went out of bounds that time.
Yeah. And then if I you give up a double leg 5 seconds left in that period, which was probably not, you probably did not think that was good for you. What did you think going to the second period now? You're down by one.
I never worried because I was like, I'm gonna score on this kid either way. And I was like, how am I gonna put my points on the board next? And obviously, I obviously took down when they gave me the choice, got my escape, and I was like, okay, I gotta score another takedown. And obviously I was able to do that off his re off his attack. He took a double leg. He tried to take the same double leg. I knew it was coming. He had the same thing. I came down, posted up on his head, and as soon as I came up, he took the double leg and I threw my legs back and got behind him. I knew it was coming. He kind of telegraphed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do you get that mentality of wrestling on the edge? Like you said, you shot that double leg, and you got that cheap, not cheap too, but you go behind.
Yeah.
Where do you get the mentality of wrestling on the edge? Does it just come from wrestling on the walls in practice? Where does
It's
that come
kind of
from?
like getting ready for college, really. The same thing with like scrambling and keeping the person in danger. You got to be, because in college the rule set completely changes. Like college out of bounds, any part of your body's in, you're still wrestling. There's no reason to stop wrestling at the edge because that's where a lot of points are scored. I mean, even at practice, like I'll never let, like if someone's pushing me back, pushing me back, pushing me back, I'll make sure I get a takedown, even if I had to drive the kid through the wall. Like that
Yeah.
doesn't matter to me. So I knew like going to the edge, he was going to stop wrestling. And that's exactly what he did. He took that double leg, expected us to go out of bounds. I circled back in and scored. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now so I have a question. It's kind of random, but now you've been to a lot of tough tournaments in, like, as you said, Super 32, Beast of the East. Do you have a tournament that you would say is the toughest high school tournament in the country?
I think I'd have to give it to Super 32. I mean, Super 32 or Beast, they're both very, very, very tough tournaments. I mean, Super 32 is just tough for. Super 32 was more tough on my body, really, because you had to. I think I wrestled 7 or 8 matches on the first
Oh,
day, and then
yeah.
you had to get up and wrestle another 3 or 4 the next. I think there was like over 160 or like 200 kids in our bracket last year at 120. So after that first day, I was just feeling it. I was really feeling it in my legs. Like I didn't want to get out of bed. I was like, oh God, I got another day of wrestling. I mean, like, I love wrestling, but I was so tired and so sore from the first day. I had 7 or 8 matches against like good kids, ranked kids too. It's not like it was against a bunch of scrubs, you know? But Beast of the East being a 2-day tournament, having a whole weight makes it a more difficult tournament. But
Yeah.
I'd either go with Super 32 or Beast of the East.
Yeah. Now, everyone else we've asked this question to, they've either said Super 32 or Iron Man. So it's
I never got
pretty.
the opportunity to wrestle with Iron Man, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
Super 32 is definitely probably hard on your body after those brackets are huge.
They are. I think we had the biggest bracket in Super 32 history last year, which is why it was just like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely hard on your body. All right, so let's get back to this match. Jordan gets another last second score with the reversal and in the beginning of third, you let him up, bottom that tied the match 7-7. Why did you decide you want to cut him? And talk about what happened going through your mind, giving up that last second reversal, and now the match is tied up.
Same mentality that happened when I gave up the double with like 5 seconds left. I was like, I just need to score again. I need to score again. So I was like, okay, he's tired. I can see that he's tired. I can visibly see he's tired. He took an injury time going out of the third period. So I was like, I have him right where I want him because I can score another takedown. He hasn't taken me down this whole thing. He's gotten 2 reversal. He hasn't really been able to score on me. So I was like, if I get to my offense on my feet, I'm going to be able to put this match away. And that's
Yeah.
exactly what I was able to do. I took a shot probably with about 1:30 left. Scramble for a little bit. He tried to throw me into a Falcon. I scored. And then he threw himself on his neck again or whatever he was trying to do from bottom, which was really weird. And we got into that
Yeah.
little like scramble from the top position and it chewed the clock down to like 20 seconds. And I was like, that's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he did this weird kind of like Granby thing. It was interesting, but
Yeah,
like
like his head, kind of like almost cartwheeled.
Yeah,
he's like cartwheeling with his head.
Yeah. But and his head wasn't like flat on the mat. It was like sideways. Yeah. Like,
he was probably feeling that. It looked very painful.
Yeah.
That match definitely had a lot of sore. Talk about how did you feel that next day?
I didn't want to. I had to get up to go to the airport and get to my flight. I didn't want to get up at all. I was like tired. I'm like walking around, like dragging my feet, and I'm like limping because of my ankle. And I'm just like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Those. Yeah. You both of you guys must have not.
Yeah.
Been feeling your best. Yeah. So you end up winning the match 9-8, which then became it was the highest scoring, but now after Feldman match, it was the second. Overall, what did you think of your performance?
I don't even think I wrestled my best, obviously, because
those last seconds,
because that's something that that's something that every coach goes over is don't give up points in like garbage time. It's like the last seconds of the period. So like, even if you were to take away the points that he scored in the last 5 seconds of each period, I would have won the match like 9-4. So definitely not my best performance, but I'm happy that how I got to my offense and was able to score pretty efficiently.
Yeah. What did you think was the difference between the first match and this match?
I think it really was the defense of the Falcon. That was like his main move and the only reason that he was able to beat me the first time around. I mean, obviously his scrambling is very good, but it's just that Falcon was what separated the first match into this one. He wasn't able to get to it at all in this one. He tried for it. Well, I was able to counter it. So that was really the difference between the two matches.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So now that we're kind of done talking about your match, what were your top three favorite matches other than your match?
I think it was the one right before me. I think it was Pinto, right? Pinto was right before me and Ryland Rogers.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites, especially because he had that little like step over thing. It was pretty nice.
Oh yeah, that match.
He like did a little step over or whatever.
Magic stick or whatever.
That's probably third on the list. Second comes in is probably Jesse Mendez and Vandeveer when he got those last two takedowns with that shrug by was that little duck was nasty. Insane.
Yeah.
Jesse Mendez, Shane Van Ness seems untouchable right now, but Jesse Mendez, I don't know. He might be coming for that number one spot.
The thing is with both of those wrestlers is Jesse's got a gas tank and so does Shane.
Yeah.
And when they wrestled, Shane outlasted him. He was able to, you know, pull it out. But probably the best match of the night was Ayala and Figs, because I was Ayala's warm up partner, and I was just like, he's gonna beat Figs. I was warming up with him. I just felt it. I'm like, he's gonna beat Figs.
Yeah, those Siebel guys. I didn't know they drill really. It was like warming up, but they drill pretty hard.
They were. I liked it too, because that's kind of like how I like to drill. It was exactly how I like to drill. And it was like a high pace, high reps and everything. And it was fun. Honestly, I enjoyed warming up with him. I thought it was pretty cool. And I just after going with him, I'm like, he's going to beat Figs. I just don't see him losing.
Yeah. What did you think of that? Was it the short? Was it grabbed the short?
I don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was intentional at all.
What did you think? Two pieces. Do you think they should wear singlets next year? What are you thinking?
I just think with the two pieces, you just got to make sure they're pretty tight. Like, they can't be loose. They were a little bit loose on some kids. They just weren't – like, even, like, the shorts, I had to, like, roll them up to make them fit
my waist. Yeah, it just depends on the fitting.
Yeah, it just really depends on the fitting because some two pieces, that doesn't happen at all. Like, I've worn two pieces the last 2 years for high school, and no one ever ends up grabbing them. So it was really just the fact that they just needed to be a little bit tighter. Like, they obviously came in a small, medium, and large. I think they should have had an extra small size and then, like, a small because some kids couldn't fit into that small size.
Yeah,
usually because I wear some two pieces too. It just depends.
They all fit differently, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the grab. I think it shouldn't even went overtime.
It shouldn't have went in overtime whatsoever.
I only got the win though, so.
They were like freaking out too because we were watching it in like the back room where the mat was at, and like Figs's like coaches are like behind us, like a couple of his coaches because not all the coaches are allowed in, and like they're freaking out, and I'm like, there's no way that should be a singlet pull, and they're like freaking out, like screaming and yelling. I'm like, oh god.
They're looking for anything what they could do. Because he was looking for earlier in the match, if you saw, like,
he was complaining too much.
Yeah,
should've worried about wrestling.
I feel like that was kind of his downfall. Like,
it was.
I feel like Ayala kind of broke him once he got that. He's like, come on.
Figs was complaining the whole match, not even just that, like, the single grab, just like the way the match was going. He was like talking to the refs, complaining, and I was just like, you can't have that mentality going into a match at all.
Yeah, so you said you guys were in, like, another room watching it, that warm-up room that with the gray mats and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're committed to Princeton. Why did you choose to commit there, and what are you looking to do for the program?
I chose to commit to Princeton because it's academically one of the best schools in the country. And wrestling can, not that wrestling won't take me far, but wrestling can only take you so far. You can't do wrestling your entire life. You can't be scrambling on the mats for, you know, 30, 40 years down the line. So I had to think of my future, not just only in wrestling, but like what I wanted to do as a career. And I think Princeton looks pretty good on a resume, especially if you graduate from there. So
Definitely.
And as it is for like the program, I expect to be the next national champ. They haven't had one since like the 60s, 70s, and I plan to be the next one if Glory doesn't win in the next few years, obviously, that he's there. But I plan to be – yeah, I plan to be an NCAA champ when I get there.
Yeah. I can see that. Dean Peterson, NCAA champ. Sounds – I like that ring.
Yeah.
So now what way are you looking to go in college?
I mean – depending on what, like, I level off at, I could definitely make 25, but I could definitely see myself switching between 125 and 133. I don't see myself getting much bigger than that. I'm not very tall. I'm not very, like, you know, I'm not very tall. I don't have a lot of places to put the weight, pack on the weight. So anywhere from, like, 25 to 33, maybe 41 senior year.
Yeah.
So when you I have a question. So when you apply to these Ivy League schools or these Ivy League or smart schools, do you think it's going to be tough? Do you think it's tough for these wrestlers? I know you haven't been there yet, but what do you think it's going to be like, the workload, managing wrestling, and
time management's really just key. Like, you can't be wasting time doing dumb stuff, you know, partying all the time or whatever. That's never been my thing either. I'm not a big partier. I'm not like a social butterfly. I like to keep to myself a little bit. I'm more of like a gamer than anything, which is kind of funny. But like, obviously, time management is going to be important. At Princeton, you only go to school Monday through Thursday, so you get 3 days on the weekend to do your work and stuff. So obviously, it's going to be a bigger load. But if you can manage your time wisely, then it should be all right, especially with wrestling and everything.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say something before that.
I think that's all I had. That's all I had.
That's all I have too.
Yeah, but, that's all we have for today. Thank you for coming on. We loved watching your match at Who's Number One, and we love talking to you too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. Thank you a lot. Talk to you maybe later after you win that national championship. We're going to get you right back on here.
Sounds good.
All right. See ya.